As we come to our passage tonight, I want to ask a question. Jesus came about 2,000 years ago, and the question is, why did he need to come? And as you think about this, we know he came to show love. We know that he came to bring light to the world. We know that's what Scripture teaches. But as we think about that question, think about the reasons he didn't come. He didn't come to reward us for good deeds. He didn't come to just hang out with us. He didn't come to give us a high five or anything like that. He came because we needed a Savior. And I'd like to read a passage here tonight from Revelation. And I have to tell you, as I'm preparing for all the messages we do with this church throughout the year, including this one, I asked the Lord to guide me to the passage he wants me to preach from. And he led me to this passage in Revelation. And my thought was, Lord, really? That's like the end. Jesus is more like the beginning, you know. But I've learned that you just better to do what he says. And I began to see why he wanted me to bring this passage to you. And this is a letter that Jesus told John to write to a specific church. And this church was in a city in the ancient world named Laodicea. And he told John to write these words. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. So Jesus is talking about himself there. And he said, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And he goes on to tell them they think they're rich, they have lots of money, but they're really not. And he uses this term, lukewarm. So think of it this way. You got a hot cup of hot chocolate. You've come in from the cold, and you've been shoveling snow or something like that, and that just tastes so good. But imagine that you just let it cool down to room temperature. Not so good. Or maybe you got an ice-cold glass of milk, and instead of drinking it, you wait a while, and you let it warm up. Again, not so good. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. So what's he talking about here? That particular church has an issue with lukewarmness. They're kind of in the middle. And when you think about that, Jesus doesn't want kind of in the middle. Jesus doesn't want, whatever. You know that phrase? Anybody here a whatever person? Please don't raise your hand. But you know what I'm saying. Hey, where do you want to go? Wherever. What do you want to do? Whatever. I don't care, whatever. You know, hey, you want to get married? Whatever. I got a job I'd like to offer you. Can you start Monday? Whatever. Yeah, that person no longer has that job, right? If that's the response, that's not what God wants. And what's going on with that particular church is it seems like they're playing church. They're showing up. They're doing the things. They're going through the motions. But it's not really a sacrificial love in giving themselves to Jesus sort of passion that they have. He wants passion. And he actually says, I'd rather you be hot or cold. I'd rather be passionate one way or the other. You're kind of just in the middle. And, you know, think about that being cold. There was a guy in the Bible named Saul who was cold toward God. He was throwing Christians in jail. But God took that passionate man and turned him around and made him the greatest missionary in the early church. He takes passionate people and he uses them. And he doesn't want whatever people. And he doesn't want us to just go through the motions. And I want to read to you a couple verses from the book of Amos. He says, God says, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. In other words, just going through the motions doesn't cut it with the Lord. So it's very clear that Jesus is not happy with that particular church. So what's he going to do? What is his response to them? Well, here's what he says a few verses later. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. So people who are lukewarm to Jesus, who aren't paying attention to him, who are kind of in the middle, who he is displeased with, what does Jesus do? He shows them love. He comes to them. And that's what Christmas is about, that God came to us. We don't have a God who's distant and far off, who's just waiting for us to come to him. We have a God who draws us in. We have a God who pursues us and comes after us. And isn't that great that we're not just left out here to just kind of figure it out and find him? Where is he? He's knocking at your door. He wants you to open that door. I think about the parable of the prodigal son, if you remember that one. The youngest son of this man, and the man in the story, the father, represents God. And the young son says, "Dad, give me my inheritance. I'm out of here," which is equivalent to saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead." He takes off. He spends all his money. He wastes it. He comes back, and he says, "Maybe my dad will let me be a servant in his house." And the father sees him from a distance, and the father, who represents God, comes running to him. You know, we think about this guy, and he wraps his arms around him and hugs him and kisses him and has a feast. So when we think about God pursuing us and coming after us, and sometimes you think, "Oh, I blew it. I messed up. I did it again." But you have a God who loves and forgives, and he comes to us. He's not watching us from a distance, right? That song, Bette Midler, got it wrong, right? He's not just watching us from a distance. He is a God who is, yes, he's sitting on a throne, but he's also active, and he's pursuing, and he's knocking on our door. And he talks about the language of relationship. "Let me come in, and I'll eat with you. We'll eat together." That's what people who have relationship do. We eat together. It's not just this far off, distant God that you don't know. It's an actual personal relationship. And you know, what we do a lot of times is we try to fill that desire for relationship with God. We all have it. We all were created with this desire to be in relationship with God. But instead, we replace it with relationship with other people or things. And we think that those relationships or those things in our life will be fulfilling enough. Almost every movie that you've ever seen or every book you've ever read has to do with, you know, finding that person, that relationship. You know, you remember the movie Jerry Maguire? And in the movie, they say, you know, Tom Cruise is in it. They say, "You complete me." And I don't know why Tom Cruise would complete you. I don't understand why that would be the case. But you know what? No human person actually completes you. And you know, you have fairy tales where they live happily ever after. Well, yeah, people may stay married a long time and have wonderful, beautiful marriages, but it's work. It's challenging every day. I mean, he leaves the seat up, right, and the cap off the toothpaste, and she leaves her stuff all over the bathroom counter, and you leave stuff on the floor, there's clutter, and there's challenges, and you got to work through these things. Human relationships bless you, and they're great, and they're wonderful, and they're beautiful, but our relationship with God is what actually completes us. And that's what he's talking about here. And just to finish off the section, Jesus writes, "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." So here's what God is offering. I'm standing at the door and knocking. Today, Christmas Eve, and every day, will you open the door? Will you have a relationship with the living God of the universe? Will you turn from whatever you've been following and chasing, and will you instead put your faith in him and follow him? That's what he's asking us to do, and you get to live forever, for eternity, with the God of the universe. What's your response to that? Whatever? No! I hope it's not whatever. I hope it's, "Yes, Lord, I want you in my life. I want that love. I want that unconditional love and forgiveness that comes from being in relationship with and knowing Jesus Christ." He knocked on the door of the world 2,000 years ago. He's knocking on our doors tonight. He wants us to let him in and have a relationship with him. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with the living God. I hope you have it. And if you don't, I hope you have it tonight. Let's pray. Lord, each one of us here has sinned and fallen short of your glory. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would continue to knock on our door. Lord, I pray that people here would let you into their lives and follow you and love you and serve you all the days of their life. Lord, you're a God who, instead of writing us off when we sin and when we displease you, you continue to pursue us. You're the God who chases the one sheep who went astray and brings them back. And Lord, we're thankful that you do that to us. Lord, we open the doors of our hearts tonight and we give our lives to you. And we pray this in your mighty name. Amen.